Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I just thought that video really empowered Father's Day. Because we as fathers, we will spend time with our children and we will love them. And sometimes we won't know what the heck they're talking about. We just babbling along with them, loving them. And you know what's funny? That does not change. When they get to the preteen stage and the teenager stage, we're like, what are you doing now? I don't know what you're doing. Then when they get to the 20-year-old stage, we're like, I don't know what you're thinking. What are you doing in your life? But we are patient with our children. We love our children. And you know what? That is what God does with us. Amen? God is patient with us when we first become Christians. He was like, what are y'all talking about? You're babbling around. We get older. He was like, what are you doing? And we get older. What are you thinking about? But that's the patience of our incredible, loving God. So I want to welcome everybody again to the Path Church. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. For the fathers that are here, for the fathers that are not able to be here, for the fathers that have even gone on to pass away, we want to say we are very thankful for your heart of love, for compassion and patience, because it is definitely a job that we are just tirelessly always trying to be the men of God that God has called us to be. Now, I was going to talk a little trash up here today about Father's Day versus Mother's Day. So, I counted the cost. God has changed my heart, but I'm going to tell you the backstory. So, when I walked in Target with my wife, this was about 3-4 weeks ago, this was the only little rinky-dinky thing they had in the whole store, man. And I'm like, come on, man, if it was Mother's Day, we would have banners and flags and all kind of people singing. We got one little box in the middle of the store. And I said, I'm going to go in when I get up there on Father's Day, man. But we went out with a couple last night. And I said, you know what? I have never seen somebody do a Father's Day brunch specifically for the men. But this place we went to last, that's true, right? When you go out, you never see nothing about Father's Day brunch. I guarantee you get a reservation in this town this afternoon. You ain't going to have no problem with that. I guarantee you that. But this one place we went to had a Father's Day brunch. It was at Stockyard. Stockyard, right? I mean, you know. But amen, they had one. They're trying. So, brothers, we are coming along. It's going to take some time, but we are coming. So, you know, we are very thankful just to be dads. We have been talking about the Circle Maker series. And it's been a very impactful time for us to think about our faith. Think about our prayers, our dreams, the promises that God has given us. And even as dads, we have promises for our children. We have big dreams for our children. And God feels the same way about us. So we want to go ahead and dive right in. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Facebook. So everybody say, hey, Facebook. All right. Come on, Facebook. We are very excited that you are able to join us here today. How about next week? Come on down and meet us in person. We want to meet you where you are, okay? So let's go to God in prayer and we'll jump right in. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for who you are, God. You are absolutely incredible. You are the Father of fathers. You are our dad. And God, we are so thankful to be able to have this relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Father, the words that are preached here today are the words, God, that you want spoken, God. As we continue to talk about the biggest dreams and our biggest fears and the things that we need to circle in prayer with, Father, we know that you will come through, God. We know that you have an incredible plan for us, this body, as we move forward to be able to preach your gospel message, to love people, God, to serve people, to meet them where they are with the heart of Jesus at the core. In your holy son's name I pray, amen. So one of the things I was thinking about as we talk about Father's Day, you know, Father's Day is somewhat of a rite of passage. You know, as a man, you know, you grow up, you see your dad or your dad-like figure, and you're like, man, wow, that's cool. I really want to do that. And so today is one of those things that as a man, sometimes you have the opportunity to be able to be a father one day. And it's a rite of passage, man. You know, have your kids, you fight out with them, you duke it out. And I was thinking about what happens as we go back in our life. All the different rites of passages that we have, even take it back to elementary school and think about our education. What are some rites of passage of our education? What are the first things that we do in our education? What are the first thing we learn how to do? Open to the audience. ABCs. ABCs lead to reading. I hear reading, spelling. So we got all the language arts. What's the first thing we kind of do in our math? Count. Add. Subtract. What's next? Multiply. Multiply, right? Those multiplication facts, you got to learn them facts. And I'll tell you, man, there's some easy ones and there's some hard ones. That easy one is those fives. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Boy, you rock that out. But when you get to them sevens, you be struggling. You can't get them sevens like that, Jack. But those are the facts. 7 times 7 equals 49. I still struggle with 7 times 8, 50. Hey, see? It ain't that hard. It ain't that easy. But those are the facts. You can't deny those facts. And I think sometimes what I do is I want to take the facts and I want to try to bring that into my relationship with God. I want to try to tell God, hey, buddy, these are the facts. That can't happen. No way, no how. What are you talking about? And I think we do that in our education. We do that in our career. We do that in our relationships. Where we bring the facts to God. We're like, nah, dude, that can't happen. You bring in human calculations, human planning strategies. You got it all figured out. God, it can't happen. It just doesn't add up. And then God says, is the arm of the Lord too short? And God then strikes us in our heart. And we have to open our eyes up and see what God has to say. Amen. What's incredible is God's word doesn't leave us without an answer for this problem. God's word tells us there are some people that had to deal with this issue before we had to deal with this issue. And the Israelites really struggled when it came to this particular issue. They wanted to present the facts to God. And God is like, no, y'all need to trust in my process. So let's turn over to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Now, y'all know some Bible going to be preaching here today if we're in Numbers. When is the last time you've been in Numbers and you studied out Numbers? It's been a while, man. It's been a while. I mean, when I first started reading the Bible, I was like, ooh, Numbers, golly, this is tough. But God has a word in every one of his scriptures for our hearts. Numbers chapter 11 is a section where the Israelites are complaining, they are grumbling, and we have to even go back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 16, God blessed the Israelites with manna raining from the sky. He also gave them meat to eat as well. And so here is the second time where the Israelites are complaining again about wanting to eat meat. And they are going in so hard to where now Moses is struggling too. Moses is telling God, I can't take this burden. You got to get these people off my back. You might as well just kill me, God, if you can't do something better than this. So Moses is really going through it. And even as you look at the perspective of God, God's anger is also barreling up because the Israelites are still complaining. Numbers chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 18. It's a pretty long read, so bear with me. But this is God's word, amen? Verse 18, tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it, and you will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. Has anybody ever heard of the meat sweats? Oh, let me teach y'all about the meat sweats. The meat sweats is when the brothers get together and we just eat nothing but steak, pork, sausage, chicken, burgers, and you just eat so much so you look up at everybody and everybody just sweating and perspiring. Ain't no vegetable, no carbohydrate, nowhere around. Those are the meat sweats. Israelites getting ready to get the meat sweats. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 6,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. We'll skip down to verse 31. Verse 31. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove in quail from the sea. It scattered them up to two cubits deep all around the camp as far as the day's walk in any direction. All day and all night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. So the Israelites wanted meat. Hey, they hungry. So when I was April 12th, so this is me at my birthday. So Tasha and I have been going through a physical reformation, if you will, transformation. So we've been working out for the past 6 months. We go to Orange Theory. So glory to God for that. But I've been on a pescatarian diet to make all that work. Yeah, man, it's been tough, bro. So I can imagine the Israelites, they want some meat, because after I left Orange Theory, I went to the steakhouse and got me a big tomahawk. So I realized that I am a hardcore carnivore. That is who I am. I got to have my steak. I have meat. For the vegetarians in the audience, my heart goes out to y'all. Cause I don't see how y'all do it. But those Israelites were complaining. This wasn't the first time that they were complaining about food. This was the second time. And God was like, come on, guys. Moses, man, you know what? Moses is like the guy of faith, right? He is the guy. And Moses had seen some amazing, audacious prayers answered. Pharaoh being overcome, the Red Sea, the first round of manna, water from a rock. I mean, Moses has seen some stuff. His faith should have been very, very strong. Should have been trunk tight. But he questioned God. That brother questioned God. He said, but there's 600,000 men. Now, that's not even talking about the women and children. So they probably think it's about 2 million people. Moses said, you can't feed 2 million people. It's not possible, God. He came up with every scenario that he could think of. Herds, flocks, all the fish from the sea. There was no faith in what God had promised him. You see, Moses was using just the facts. He was using that human math. And you've been there before. I know you have, because I have. When you say it just doesn't add up. I don't have the grades to be able to get into that school. My test scores, they just don't add up for me to be able to go to residency. Hey, I don't know how my CV is going to allow me to be able to get that job. Hey, I don't know how my faith is going to help me reach out to people. It just doesn't add up. But see, with God, God doesn't use human math. God uses faith, amen? And his faith multiplies. And that's what God did with this quail. You know how many quail was in that camp? Let's talk about it a little bit. Come on, church. Can we talk about it a little bit? God is amazing. So quail, they come in from the sea, okay? And they usually kind of hang out along the coastline. You don't find quail almost 50, 60 miles inshore in the desert. That just don't happen. So God had an amazing wind that he created from the west to blow all those quail in. Quail don't fly very far. They little birds and they tired. They don't go. Man, so by the time they got to the camp, they start dive bombing on everybody, hitting people in the head. Dude, there was so many quail there. If you do the math, okay, a day's walk, they think back then, was anywhere between 15 and 25 miles. Let's round, 20 miles. So if you do the diameter of that, that's 40 miles. 2 cubits represents 3 feet. So if you do that math, we're talking about over 1 trillion quail in the camp. That is incredible. Them dudes, they just wanted one day's of food, probably. But God said, I am going to give you a whole month's worth. Now that is multiplication. Brothers and sisters, this is the type of prayer life we should have. We should have a prayer life that is unpredictable, unprecedented, unparalleled. Our prayers should be perplexing to our mind because we think they're impossible, but not for God. Amen? Amen. The Israelites were not expecting that much. The scripture says 10 homers. How much is 10 homers? It equates out to 2,200 liters. What is that? About 1,900 birds based off the size of the bird, of the quail. About 475 pounds of bird, of meat, per person. It's like taking Darius's Silverado outside and filling it up all the way up with quail in the pickup truck. That's how much meat they had. That is the power of God to magnify, to multiply way beyond what we can ask for. Now, as we look at power, we gotta talk about Jesus. We got to talk about Jesus and how Jesus' power is able to multiply even more than what we ask for. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Very quick, Matthew chapter 13. So this is a very famous parable that Jesus taught, which is the parable of the soils. And this is an amazing, amazing section about how people can come to faith. And the last soil that is talked about is where we're going to focus. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Jesus taught multiplication. God was about multiplication. 1 trillion quails? That is incredible. There are only about 100 million quail in this world right now. God bought 1 trillion. He bought 1 trillion for one group of people. This is the heart of Jesus. Jesus' heart is about multiplication. He wants to give you 100, 60, 30 times more than what you ask him. Amen. What God? That is our God. A God that we serve that wants to multiply to magnify. Amen. And that's the title of the message, is Multiply to Magnify God's Kingdom. Amen? Amen. Apply it in your life right now. If we left it up to us, what would we say? Come on, money. We want our career. We want our popularity. We want our social media presence to get more likes, more hearts. Oh, boy, we want to build it up. And I understand. I mean, shoot, I want my career to take off. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to do for that? And I would tell y'all, we do any and everything possible. Whatever it takes, we will build our own little brand up. Increase hours on social media, increase time at the workplace, increase time just doing what you want to do. What if we ask God first? God, what do you want to multiply in my life? He might say, yes, your faith. You need to get in your word a little bit more, my sister. He might say, you might need to serve a little bit more at the church. He might say, hey, you might need to get a little bit more advice in your life. And then the thing about it is, in our me-centric culture, we want to try to argue with God. We want to try to tell God, no, homeboy, I got this. I'm good. I don't need all that stuff you're talking about. I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. I can multiply my own stuff. And we come off with that heart of pride. And I tell you guys, it is tough to be able to, you know, go to God and pretty much say, I can't. When he puts that on your heart and you say, no, I can't give that much money for Generosity Sunday. I got some other things I need to do over here. I'm thinking about this car. I'm thinking about these clothes. I can't do them. I can't give my time. I just can't do that. I got work. I got kids. I got all this stuff. I can't give my time. Then we come up with the heart of I can't, I can't, and I can't. And we pretty much rationalize our way out of God's promises and his miracles. That rationalization piece, that thing is a narcotic. That thing will addict you, and you will rationalize and use your little Christian vernacular to talk your way out of what God's putting on your heart. So we have to get real. Here's the note. I want you to write this one down. Stay with me, church. I want you to write this one down. What you are willing to surrender will determine what God will multiply. What you are willing to surrender will determine what God will multiply. There is a couple that has truly inspired me and my wife. And we're going to talk about them here today. Russell and Jasmine Brown. So Russell and Jasmine, let's just cut to the chase. Their thing was their time. They kept saying, I can't with my time. I can't, I can't, I can't. And before they became disciples, they looked at all this stuff, church and midweek and getting with people and relationships as a burden because it was coming in on their time. And as they made the decision to make Jesus Lord, they still said, y'all ain't messing with my time. This is my time. Why midweek? What is the purpose of that? I go to church on Sunday. I say amen. Leave me alone. But then their hearts started to change because they saw the love of God surrounding them. They saw the people loving on them. And then that perspective changed from being a burden to being a necessary thing about their relationship with God. Amen. God put it on their hearts to say, hey, midweek, these relationships, this is building your relationship with me. Will you surrender your time to me? Now, they could have said, I can't, I can't, I can't, but they didn't do that. They humbled themselves out, they got advice, they got input, and now they come to midweek. They make a service, I mean, they make their heart to be servants. And if you look at their travel schedule, let's look at their travel schedule. So these folks stay out in Snailville. Both of them work in the city. Their daycare for their incredible daughter, Zoe, is in Snailville. Somebody's got to go pick Zoe up all the way back in Snailville, then come all the way back in for midweek and other things going on. They said, hey, we're going to work it out. We're going to work together as a team here because this is our conviction. And they make the effort to show up. Brothers and sisters, half the time, it's just to show up. Just show up. I want to challenge each and every one of y'all. When you struggle and you decide to show up, come on, church. When you leave, are you mad? Would you wish you would have did something else? No, you never do. Just show up. So let's just refocus our culture here. Midweek is a necessary part of your relationship with God. Even if you are seeking God, you don't know where you are with God right now, somebody invited you out today, midweek is a part of seeking God. We do first century Christianity here at the Path, amen? The believers were together each and every day. We asking for two, maybe three. This has to be our conviction. So that was Russell and Jasmine's conviction. And now they're growing. God is multiplying their faith. And they talked about their pregnancy. So I'm going to hit this one. They said, you know, when we got pregnant, we got input. We talked about what it was going to look like when Zoe came into the world, what our relationship with God was going to look like, how we were going to still continue to be able to serve. When are we going to come back to service? How are we going to get to midweek? They got advice. They got input. Russell told me, say it, Jackson, we could have said, we gone, deuces. We off the radar for 3 months. Who going to check us? Ooh, man. I think there's a culture that's somewhat breeding around here where we can't come and talk to people about stuff. But they got advice, and they say, no, we're going to come back. We're going to figure out how to serve. Now, they still struggle. We're in a study with them right now with a couple. They say, man, I'm struggling with my time. I don't want to give Jesus my time. So they're not perfect, but they know now it's not about them. It's about other people. God has multiplied their faith then to multiply their character. Russell says, man, my mouth used to be a potty mouth. Brother, I relate. My mouth was a potty mouth too. But he says, no more. That's not who God wants me to be. That man says, God wants me to be a godly husband. I got to treat my wife with respect. I got to be considerate. I got to think about her needs before mine. His character has been multiplied. Jasmine said, I came from a house where I'm single mom. We ain't had no father figure. Shoot, I run this show up in here. So she had to learn to be submissive to her husband and allow him to be able to lead spiritually. And she has seen a revolution in their marriage. Her character has been multiplied. So when faith gets multiplied, character gets multiplied, you know what's next? God's people gets multiplied. And they started helping their friends. I'm going to talk about the kings. They're in Kingdom Kids. That brother Thomas ain't believe in Jesus, son. He did not believe in Jesus one iota. I remember sitting down talking to him at Family Fun Day a year ago. That brother said, Jesus what? Man, I don't want that stuff right there. I said, wow, we got a long way to go with him. But that is the power of God's word. Russell and Jasmine were like, we're just excited to get with people because we get to see people change. It's such an amazing thing to see a husband and a wife or a brother, to see somebody change their life. It builds our faith. Think about that cycle. You helping somebody else builds your faith to build your character, so you go out and help build God's kingdom. Amen? That's the cycle that God wants, to multiply our faith, our character, and his people. So what do we need to surrender and let it touch Jesus' hand so that he can multiply our faith, our character, and his people 30, 60, and 100 times more than we ever thought? It could be the loss. It could be the people that are hopeless. You might be sitting in the audience right now like, man, what is my life doing? I don't have no purpose. I don't know why I'm getting up in the morning. I'm really hurting. And I would encourage you, if you feel that way, you've been invited out today, take the opportunity to reach out to the person that invited you out, to have a great life talk, to open up God's word, and come back. This is the family that wants to love you. So we gotta surrender hopelessness to Jesus. Sometimes we got to surrender fear, surrender that anxiety. I know I got some anxiety. I get all worked up about my patients and complications. And the devil is just tricking me. He's throwing lies in my brain so that I can be focused on that instead of on God. We got to get rid of the fearful heart. It's just Satan trying to trick us. Maybe we need to surrender being isolated from the body of Christ. I know we got a lot of past things that we've been hurt in the church, out of the church. I know there's a lot of things mentally going on. But, folks, we cannot isolate ourselves from the people that are trying to love us. We got to open up our hearts and talk about that stuff. Get professional help if needed. But if you isolate yourself, Satan is going for the sheep that's on the periphery. That's the first one he's going for. And we don't want to lose you. God needs us to divorce those things. If he doesn't see us saying, I'm turning into divorce papers on that fear, then God can't move us where he needs to move us. He needs our faith. God is playing chess. He ain't playing checkers. God is six moves ahead of us. But in our me-centric culture, we like to think that we're right up there with God, that we can figure it out. God, I don't need to divorce that. I don't need to surrender that in my heart. I got it all figured out. Don't ever believe that you can keep in step with God. He's always ahead of us because his plans are greater than our plans. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And I believe God is six moves ahead of us when it comes to our new home. Amen. Not if we get there in 2020, but when we get there in 2020. Jazz talked about the building last time he spoke, and he said he struggled with figuring out how it was going to get, given to us for free. Right. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I ain't even get that far. I said, why are we even looking at a $3 million building? We ain't got no $3 million bank account. We need to look at a $100,000 building. Because those were the facts. We knew the account. We knew the money. It didn't add up. So why are we looking at a $3 million building, Angel? Jackson was running with just the facts. And I'm going to talk about the location, too. Shoot, while I'm up here. Man, I tell you, boy, Angel called me one night, showed me the map. I said, darn, dog, I thought we had some options up in Smyrna or something, man. Oh, boy, that's going to be a hump, bro. But you know what's funny, man? We got to look at God and be like, hey, when God starts to multiply, he's going to multiply the best way he sees fit. We can't control how God multiplies. We just have to have the heart. Write this one down. Here's another one. We have to have the heart of gratitude when God multiplies us. And just be thankful that he has done what he has done. But let me share my conviction on the building now. It is my conviction that we're at the tipping point. God is getting ready to put us in this building in 2020, and we're going to exponentially grow in our faith, in our character, and in God's people. This is not Angel's vision. This is not Mike's vision. This is our vision. This is my conviction. We need that home so that we can do God's work. God has multiplied my faith. Boom, we already seen how God is working through that building. Whether it be 2 million, 3 million, or 5 million, it's gonna happen. It's not an if, it's just when. We are going to do incredible things with God, but we have to have that multiplication type of faith. And we gotta multiply our character. If there's things in your heart right now that you may be struggling with, looking at where the building is or how much we may have to do, let's check that at the door. Let's check that at the door. Because we saw what happened when you complain through a miracle. God ain't let them people get the meat out their teeth. And he struck them with a plague. I don't want that to happen to us. We can have a multiplication to get down there in that building, and then you driving on 285. Man, shoot, it's a long drive, man. This sucks, man. And your heart is just all messed up in there because you're grumbling. And there are other things in our life that we can grumble about and not be thankful. Our single people, God is doing an amazing thing in your life, and sometimes you grumble about being single. Sometimes we look at our jobs. You signed up for the job. You prayed about God for the job. And you go to the job mad and angry. I get it because I do it. But we can grumble. College people, you're grumbling about the school that you're in. You signed up to go there. You prayed to God, God, please let me get into a school. He gives you a school and now you're mad. Same thing with our teens. Come on, teens. You're getting ready to make the next transition. Don't be grumbling about what God is doing in your life right now. He may be putting some people in your life to guide you to an area for you to get outside your comfort zone. Don't grumble like the Israelites did. Because when God starts multiplying, it's probably not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. And we have to be humble and be grateful. Amen? Amen. So God has put on the heart of the PATH Church to create churches that mobilize the next generation. That's multiplication, plain and simple. So can I talk to the brothers here for a second? Are there mighty men in this audience? Here on this Father's Day, men, who's going to be the one among the masses that will lead the way to have a multiply to magnify type of prayer life? We need men to lead the way in that area. And I implore all of us, men, women, children, dogs, cats, I don't care. We all need to have multiply to magnify type of prayers. This is a spiritual battle. We need the dogs. We need everybody. Shoot, God. And that's the one point I have for you today. Audacious prayers multiply to magnify. To magnify God's kingdom. What more would you want to do with your life? To allow God to use you as a tool to glorify his amazing holy name. So we need to be able to communicate to God what we want to multiply. Angels talked about this. Jazz has talked about this. We need to have that audacious prayer, right? I'm going to stretch you here today to widen that audacious prayer. If your audacious prayer doesn't scare you to death because it's so impossible, if it doesn't perplex your mind because it's so impossible, if it's not unpredictable, unprecedented, unparalleled, you need to widen your prayer circle. We need to have prayers that we can't even imagine how it's going to happen. If it's not to that level, if it doesn't make you feel like that, go back to the drawing board. Talk to some brothers. Talk to some sisters. We have got to have that type of prayer life. How do you envision God using you to multiply, to magnify when we get down in the building in 2020? How have you thought about how you're going to use your gifts or your talents or your network or your platform or your job so that God can use you to multiply, to magnify his kingdom? Amen. It doesn't take much. It only took one guy, two fish and five loaves. See, human math would be what? 5 + 2 = Oh, yeah, come on now. Let's get our math right now. Woo, Lord, we're going to have to slow down and get Brother Raymond up here. Ray, come on up here and teach some math, dog. Nah. And you may be saying, Ed, I just don't have that much. I don't have that much in my bank account. I don't have that much of a platform. I don't have that wide network like Maldonado has or Jazz has. It doesn't take much. This is the third thing I want you to write down. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Give what you have. Just give what you have. God's math is 5 + 2 = 5,000. That's the kind of multiplication that God works with. Exponential multiplication. Let's expand our horizons. So I was challenged with this because when Jazz gave us the three prayer beads, I'm like, okay, I got my three, Jazz. You're trying to challenge a brother. I got you. But then when I was studying this out, I was like, I don't even know how my audacious prayer can be magnified 160 or 30 times. So I'm just going to tell y'all what my audacious prayer is, and maybe somebody can help me. So as we move into our building in 2020, Angel has set the vision that, hey, we are going to create churches that mobilize the next generation. So the next church that we create is on the north side. North people, where you at? Woo! So my audacious prayer is that we will create a church on the north side that will be attached to a coffee shop, and that coffee shop will be a network of people that we can be able to reach out to, and we will get the building and the land for free. And I don't care if it's $5 million, because you know land up there on the north side is a little expensive. But I don't even know what that looks like to multiply that by 100 or 60 or 30 times. The parking lot. But the parking lot. Hope we have a parking lot. No parking spaces. Amen. But God does know that plan. I am confident in that much. Because simply, the arm of the Lord is not too short. So brothers and sisters, what would it look like if each and every one of us immerse ourselves in multiplication thinking to multiply our faith, our character, and God's people? 30, 60, 100 times more than what we put in. That is the power of God. Jazz talked about limitless power of God. Any and everything that God puts his hands on, he can multiply. Whether you're struggling with sin and you need to get open, he can multiply that. If you don't have enough money in your bank account and you need to pay your bills, he can multiply that too. Any and everything. There is no limit to his power. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, God says, is the Lord's arm too short? God asked and challenged Moses to this statement before the quail storm came. And we know the answer is there is no limit to God's power. There is no limit. If God can multiply quail, then he can certainly multiply blank. So what I want us to do as the church is fill in that blank. This is an activity that we can add on to the things that we've already done. Angel has presented us with the Circle Maker Challenge. Who's been on the Circle Maker Challenge yet? All right, come on now, people. We're about to. All right now. If we want this kind of multiplication to happen, we need to get in our faith and live it out and not just talk about it. So I got to give a shout out because my daughter was going to crush me if I didn't. So, you know, I'm not the most creative guy, you know what I'm saying? But Kennedy helped me with this slide. And so her and Grant were so enthusiastic yesterday about helping and serving. And that's a father's heart that's just so happy that his kids want to be able to participate and help in the process. So shout out to Kennedy and Grant for creating this slide here. And so we have Jazz's prayer beads that he gave us last time he spoke. And I have one of them rolled up to the top because that's all I want you to think about for this particular piece. Is as you go on the Circle Maker Challenge, drive around 285 with your group, stop down at the building like Angel talked about. As you take your selfie to prove that we did it, when you send your selfie in to the church, write your, see, oh, Keegan boy, write your audacious prayer that God can multiply 30, 60, and 100 times more than what you originally gave to him. And as you send that in, you can post that on our Facebook page at The Path. And then when we move into our building in 2020, we'll be able to look and see how God multiplied our audacious prayers. He just didn't answer what we started with. He multiplied it 100 times more, 60 and 30 times. This is the excitement of being in a relationship with God. He can do more than what I can do. The arm of the Lord is long enough to multiply our audacious prayers, but we have to trust in God and not the facts. Amen. Thank you all so much. We are thankful, Father, for who you are, God. God, your son Jesus just gives us all the examples. He gives us the love. He gives us the compassion. He gives us the ability to multiply the prayers that you give, that we give to you, God. Father, thank you for this incredible Father's Day. God, you are our Father. You are our dear dad. And Father, we would not want to have it any other way, God. Father, we have seen how you have multiplied our faith and our character and also your people, Father. God, I pray that we will continue to have gratitude in our hearts, Father, for your amazing promises that you give us, the dreams that you bless us with, and the miracles that you perform right in front of our very eyes. Father, as we leave here today, let us take the heart, let us take the passion, let us take our faith to the community that we serve to make an impact wherever we may be. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.